Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Wonderful, great morning to you. It is another thankful Thursday, and I'm excited that you guys tuned into another episode of Couch Conversations. This show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody, always available to you via our website, BakiMinistries.wix.com/Baki. You can also check us out on all forms of social media, Facebook, Google+, Instagram, Vine, Twitter. We are all across the World Wide Web, reminding you that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm excited that you tuned in because, yes, we are still talking about the family. For the past month and a half, we've been focusing on the family, not just the individual, but the family unit. And this week is no different. We've been talking about discipline, as this is going to be the conclusion of that. And so I'm really excited you tuned in. If you haven't listened to the other two broadcasts from Tuesday and Wednesday, I strongly urge you to go ahead and get those fruits in your system as well. Now, today, okay, so to piggyback off of yesterday, when we kind of ended up, we were saying that, you know, one of the best ways to get well-disciplined kids is to be a well-disciplined person yourself. Right, because you are role modeling. It's not a do as I say, not as I do situation. It's, hey, this is what I'm doing. This is what our family does. This is how we do it type situation. So we're in this together. As you work on this behavior of yours, I'm going to work on this behavior of mine. As you work on making better choices for your health, I'm going to make better choices for my health. And so you're role modeling, you're building a team, you're supporting each other, you're holding each other accountable, and things can move forward progressively well. Great. I'm all for that. We're going to add to that today. Yesterday and today, I was looking up other discipline methods because, you know, a lot of us were raised with a little bit of corporal punishment, you know, some spanking to the backside, a smack on the hand, sometimes a pop in the mouth, you know, just depending upon what part of our body was out of line. Kind of depending upon where the discipline area was that we got it. And through Facebook, I've also found that that's still a very popular method. And I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. Your household, your rules, don't abuse kids, and we're good. But this book, oh my gosh, I love it. This book and these articles that I read yesterday and today just kind of solidify and give us another way to look at things, kind of piggybacking off of what we've already built, but also opening our eyes to something different. And it's called the rubber band method, how to discipline your kids. What? Right. And so the premise of the whole rubber band method is to catch your kids doing something good. So you start off the morning with three rubber bands on your left arm, three rubber bands. And every time throughout the day you notice your child doing something good, at least three times throughout the day, when you notice your child doing something good, you acknowledge the good that they're doing. You acknowledge the positive behavior that they're displaying. You give them whatever the affection or attention that is needed for that moment, and then you switch the rubber band to your right arm. And so constantly in front of you, you see that you have, I have two rubber bands left. Let me look for the good. Oftentimes in parenting, we are looking for the bad. We are waiting for the bad. I knew you was going to mess up. I knew you couldn't resist the temptation. Those moments. What the rubber band method is saying is switch what you're looking for, and it does take practice, and you know it takes 21 days to change your behavior for 21 days. And so it also disciplines you to start looking and seeing things differently within your children, and then it also disciplines them to not get their reward from the negative, but from the positive. Because at the end of the day, the goal of most behavior is for attention. It's some sort of outcry for attention. And so it's like Shrek and Donkey, ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me. They are constantly doing stuff that says, hey, pick me. And as a parent in 2015, there are times when you have picked or we have picked everything else but them all day long. And so when we come home from work, they're at the door. Ooh, pick me, pick me, pick me. Let me tell you all about my day, and let me tell you this, and that. Did you know that? And sometimes we can push all that away because I need me time, I need alone time. after the first 15 to 20 minutes of you being home, you should be de-stressed and calm enough or in a place where you can receive whatever your family is bringing to you. And so, you know, set up something where you can get that first 15 to 20 minutes of woosah, quiet, peace, shower, nap, whatever it may be, and then be open for your family. So you might have to put the cell phones down and check Facebook later or DVR your shows or whatever the case may be so that you can interact positively with your kids who have been waiting those 8 hours that you've been working, kind of all sorts of stuff for you guys to do and stories to tell you and all sorts of excitement that they're filled with. And when you start to push them away and push them to the side and yell at them, can I just get a break? Burning them with your adult issues, and they just want to be kids. And at the end of the day, they're saying, hey, hey, pick me, pick me, pick me. Oh, my gosh, pick me. What about me? I got something to tell you. Oh, my gosh. And to you, it may not seem like a big deal. But to them, the fact that their tongue has turned blue because they had a blue icicle and a blue lollipop has just been the greatest thing ever. And the fact that the mailman came by and they actually got a postcard that was addressed to them. These are exciting things in the life of your child. And your child is excited to share them with you. So you need to be at a place of peace and calmness and get enthusiastic and excited with your child over the things that make them enthusiastic to the rubber band method. The realization will slowly kick in that you are actually, most of us, I'll say, are parenting like our parents. And when we were kids, most of us, that's what we said we were not going to do. When I have kids, I am not going to do this. I am not going to do that. But we're using a lot of the same go-tos that they use. We're saying a lot of the same things that they have said. And granted, they were wise people for their time, but as generations go and as time goes, we hope to be further advanced and open to discipline, to other discipline options. So with this rubber band method, you have to catch your son doing good. Or your daughter, your children doing good. Anything good. And so you have to practice this for like 21 to 30 days so it can fully sink in. And then, like, journal. Has the behavior changed? Has the attitudes gone down? Are they just so are they still as defiant? Now, is this saying do away with all your household rules? No. Is this saying don't have other rewards for good behavior? Don't have consequences for negative behavior? As your children get older, more logical consequences can step in. A lot of discipline needs to be a pyramid method. So when they're young, you've got to have a ton of barriers and rules because kids just want to do everything and explore everything and feel everything and touch everything, put everything in their mouth and try everything and say anything. And so you have to have like a ton of rules in place. But as they get older, your rules should kind of thin out. And you can kind of chill out because you've taught them when they're younger. And so it looks like a pyramid with the rules that you have as they get older because you're trusting them more because they've proven themselves to be trustworthy and because you've set up the right tone and balance and respect in your household. Unfortunately, many of us are parenting with the inverted pyramid. Oh, that's so sweet. Oh, that's so cute. When they're little toddlers, and then as they get older, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Last year, this was cute. Wait a minute. You showed me how to do that. Wait, I'm so confused. And the very thing that we praised them for in the beginning, we are chastising them for. And so then we set up all these rules, and we're confusing the child, and we're creating distance in our relationship with the child because they don't know what to think, and they think that you're constantly on edge, and all those other things are interfering with your relationship with the child. So even if you're just coming into the child's life, let's just say you're a step-parent, kind of chillax for the first time. Not let anything go, but kind of let the bio parent, you know, be the primary discipliner for at least 6 months until you had a chance to learn the child, watch their behavior, see how they respond to things, and you've built up a relationship with them so that they know that the discipline is coming out of love and you guys have a mutual respect for each other. Now, what if you've got foster kids? From Jump Street with the foster kids, you've got to lay down your house rules. And again, you still got to get to know them. They've got to get to know you. You got to remember that I'll say 80% of the kids in the foster system are there because of some past traumatic event, and you need to be versed in how to deal with trauma and crisis and things of that nature. They're going to rebel, and it's a whole other ballgame. So hopefully you're taking the time to get the research and have a support system of other parents who've adopted or who have foster kids who can help guide you and say, hey, honey, that's normal. When they come in like, yeah, that's normal. And so a lot of that is going to be, of course, relationship building and kind of deprogramming, because you are definitely showing them another way. Now, when these are your kids and you had them your whole life, only if you've changed, like, is there going to be anything weird or outlandish there? So if one day you're just like, oh, I'm the doormat parent, run all over top of me, and the next day you want to be militant, what? You're setting yourself up for confusion and for hardship and heartbreak sometimes in the relationship. And, yeah, kids can say some pretty mean stuff, and they can say some pretty truthful stuff as well. And you have to be open to receive all of that. So back again to the rubber band method. You've got to put yourself in a place that you're willing and open to be transformed, because our kids, they need to be appreciated. We need to show them that we're glad for them just being in the room with us or being a part of our lives, because they did not choose to be here. We have chosen to have them here. And because we made this choice, we now need to follow up with the fact that, wow, I appreciate you, I love you, you're affectionate. I've tried to, you know, set up a home for my family that has always been a safe place. What does that mean? It means that the world is throwing stuff at our kids rapid speed. You're to this, you're to that, you're not this, you're not that, you're this, you're that, you're the other, that, yada, yada, yada. Every single label to make our children think that they're not worth anything. At any point in time, oh my gosh, your lips, your hair, your hips, your, all of that, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime they're plugged into social media, go in a grocery store, walk down the aisle, look at a billboard, it tells them all sorts of negative stuff about themselves. So when I say my home is a safe place, once you walk through that door, well, actually, once you get to the porch, you know that you're not going to hear any of that. You're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not the other. You are never measuring you according to, quote-unquote, society standards. My gosh, you are great. I can't believe how you made that bed this morning. Thank you so much. You got all the corners and the wrinkles out. That's great. Appreciate that. Good job. Keep up the good work. I can actually see under your bed this morning. Wow, you've done a great job of doing that. I appreciate. Oh, my gosh. Did you smile while you were doing your chores? Oh, my gosh. I just feel so good about that. And so a lot of times people say, your kids are spoiled. Your kids are this. Your kids are that. Yes. Mm-hmm. 127%. They sure are affection. They are spoiled with appreciation, and they are spoiled with hugs and love and kisses. Even though they are 14 and 11 and don't really appreciate all that affection in public, I don't care, because they're mine, and they will know all day long that they are loved. Now, when I come home from a hard day's work, I just need a couple of minutes. Let me get myself together. I try very hard to leave stress at the door, but you know, sometimes it comes in with me, so let me shower, do something by myself to get this off of me, and then I'm going to come back to you. What? You did what? You want to do what? You want me to do? Oh, that's great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Let's do it. Last night, my daughter says, hey, Mom, I want to learn Shakespeare. You what? Girl's 10 something at night. She's like, can we go on some Shakespeare plays tomorrow? I just want to learn Shakespeare. First of all, you're 11. What? I'm so confused. Okay, that's what you want to learn. Not sure where this came from. I was like, all right, well, let's practice some Shakespeare tomorrow. Really, Mom? We can do that? Yeah, why not? Why can't we practice Shakespeare? No problem. I think that's a great idea. I haven't practiced Shakespeare since high school. Let's go for it. Oh, Mom, thanks. And then she gave me a hug. She sat on my lap for like 2.3 minutes. And then she went to her room, and she was good. I was like, okay. Don't even know where that came from. Yeah, that was some left field stuff. But, you know, if that's what she wants to do, that's a great idea. I don't know where that's going to lead. Not real sure where that's going to go. But I didn't dismiss her. I didn't say, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. You're 11. Get your little self ready for bed. No. You want to learn some Shakespeare? You want to do some plays? You want to do some sonnets? Let's go for it. Why not? The girl didn't say, hey, Ma, I want to roll this joint with my friends. Okay. I'm not going to condone that and give her great props for that. So just the fact that she's coming with something different that's not negative all the way to the left, heck yeah, I'm all for it. That's a great idea. we'll see what today leads. I'll probably post some stuff on Facebook you guys can follow, and we can figure out together where that came from. But it's little things like that. When you make your child just feel like they are the best, and that their ideas are the best, and their choices are the best, they'll continue to make those good, better, best choices. Like, wow. Oh, my gosh. I have my 14-year-old. So back to school shopping, getting her ready for all this stuff. Oh, Mom, I'm going to need a new bag this year. Cool. No problem. With her, I have to send her with just two choices. Like, look, you can have this or you can have this. Because if you allow her to go into a mall, or to a shopping center, she cannot focus enough to make a choice. And she wants to spend 30 minutes looking at the handbag section or the book bag section. And they're actually the same bags in pretty much every store, maybe a different color, maybe a different size strap, whatever. It's the same bag. It serves the same purpose. Does it really take 30 minutes? My gosh. So I try to limit her choices to about two or three. Tell me what you like. Tell me what you're looking for. Tell me what you're going to carry in this year. Are you really going to bring home all those books? Do you need the heavy-duty industrial strength bag? Or are you only going to carry a few? You need something a little feminine? So we have these talks. And so then I'm able to help narrow down the choices. And sometimes we'll look at stuff online before we go to the store. Therefore, when we get there, it's not so overwhelming for her. My gosh, I think that is absolutely the better choice of the two. Can you try it out? Can you see how it functions? Turn it inside out. Check the stitches. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like, Mom, I made a choice. You sure did? And you made the right choice for you. And that is great. Keep up the good work. You're getting much better at this choice thing. Maybe one day she'll be up to three or four choices. Right now we're at two, and that works. That gets us in the store, and about 15 minutes later, it gets us out the store. I have to do the same thing with shoes. But, again, that comes from knowing your child. And then congratulating them on their choice. Instead of me getting frustrated, oh, my gosh, she's in the store for 30, 40 minutes. No. I've helped her to de-stress from the situation because she gets overwhelmed kind of easily by a multitude of choices. And I've also de-stressed myself, so I'm proactive in that. And so that rubber band moment, I can switch one over from my left arm to my right arm. I will be trying out the rubber band moment, and I encourage anyone else who would like to, I'll probably put it on Facebook, to take this rubber band challenge. Because how awesome is it that we have the opportunity three times a day to point out the good that our kids do? Our kids are with teachers and camp counselors and grandparents and all these and peers. I promise you, if we all got on the same bandwagon and say, hey, three times a day from three different people, nine times a day, you're hearing something great about yourself, minimum. Wow, what a difference and what a positive effect that can have on our kids, on their self-esteem, on their self-worth. Yes, because how you feel about yourself is often imprinted about what other people tell you and what you choose to believe and hold on to. So if we're telling them all this positive stuff, then that's what they're going to choose to believe and that's what they're going to hold on to. Then they're going to be able to hold their head high and resist the temptations of doing all the negative stuff, or at least avoiding most of the negative stuff, and make the wiser choice. Again, when I was growing up, I got praised for my positive choice, and so the amount of negative choices I made growing up were kind of slim, were kind of skinny, because I didn't want the negative attention. The positive attention, being up in front of people and, you know, being spotlighted, that worked for me. Other people may not work for them. For me, it worked, and it was a great deterrent for me not to be off in left field somewhere doing something I wasn't supposed to do. Even when left field was calling me, like, hey, come over here and try this and try that. And there's plenty of things that I have tried. Didn't quite end so well for me. So I was like, that's not, what's the point? Where's the reward? Am I getting spotlighted for this? Is this going to be a good thing? Oh, no. Oh, that leads to jail time. That leads to this. That leads to that. Okay, I don't want any of that. Oh, I want to continue on the positive path. And so many of the choices I made was because of the positive attention that I was receiving at home, in society, at church, at civic groups. I took a lot of control positions. People looked at me like, hey, can you lead this? Can you do this? Yes. Yes, I can. Why? Because I was always told that I could. There's really nothing that I've been told that's impossible off limits to me. And so therefore, I try a whole lot of different things. That's why my resume is so colorful, because I will try a lot of different things. Like, hey, what? I think I can improve this. I think I can do better over here. I think I can do that. And so I take these courses and classes and webinars because I'm constantly improving me, because I was never told that it's impossible and you can't. Like, well, no, you can't do that. You're a girl. I was always encouraged to go above and beyond. You're the best. You're great. You might as well. Why not? What do you mean no one else has ever done it? Because it's up to you to do it. Go for it. You can do it. You're great. You're wonderful. And I can count on one hand the number of spankings or beatings or whippings or whatever you call them that I've received in my lifetime. And, okay, I got it. Don't do that. No problem. I'm one where I'm a pain avoider. And so here are the rules. If you do this, then you'll get this. Cool. So if I act up in public, you're going to pinch me, and then you're going to follow up with a beat. Cool. I'm good with that. I won't act up in public, in front of you, around you, or any way, shape, or form. It'll get back to you. Therefore, I have now improved my behavior, or I've gotten sneakier in some aspects. Either way, I'm not going to get that beating that's associated with that negative behavior. Most kids are the exact same way. As attention-seeking behavior goes, that's what the rubber band method's all about. They're attention-seeking. Give them the positive attention. Give them the affirmation. What harm are you going to do in telling a child how great they are, how imaginative they are, how creative they are, how wonderful they are, and allowing them to grow and develop within that positive realm compared to you're nothing, you're going to be nothing, your mama's nothing, yada, yada, yada. What does that do? What is the point of that? What's the goal in that? Is that goal to make you feel better as a person for putting down a child? Or is that goal to build that child up or to tear that child down? Because the bruises and scars emotionally that we put in our kids when they're kids, last lifetimes. Certain words you can't take back, and the apology doesn't fix. It may soothe the moment, but if you had never said it in the first place, as the adult in the situation, if you would have never said it or never done it, then you would have to come back for the apology, and now we wouldn't be in counseling, and next future wives and husbands won't have to deal with the effects, the long-term effects of the negativity that you've placed inside that child. The choice is always yours. As an adult who has decided to create and recreate life, you now have the responsibility to take care of that life emotionally, physically, financially, and your choices have consequences. And so if you're choosing to constantly downgrade your children, berate your children, and not see the good in them, what kind of children are you raising? Children are going to be just like you. Because obviously you have some low self-esteem issues, you have some childhood issues, and you have some issues that you have not dealt with. And so if you would like to break the cycle of all of that negativity, you can, and it starts with a choice. And it could be the rubber band method. Great. It may be a little corporal punishment. Great. It may be some other stuff, time out and self-discipline, and let logical consequences take their place. It could be role model, or it could be any mix of all of those. But at any point in time, the choice is yours. Are you choosing to respond out of anger? Are you always angry? Get you some help. Get you a therapist. Your child, your young child, is not your friend, and they should not have the responsibility to support you emotionally. You've got it twisted and confused. You are there to support them emotionally. Oh, I just want to have a baby so I have someone to love. No, it's for the wrong reasons, but even the wrong reasons can be corrected and self-corrected with some dedication and determination. Some self-discipline will lead to better discipline strategies. We've got to realize that these little impressionable minds are gifts. And every day we can choose, are we going to, you know, appreciate this gift, or are we going to depreciate this gift? It's just like when you buy a new car. Like, oh my gosh, this car is great, this is wonderful, by the time you get off the lot, it is depreciated in value. Every morning you have the opportunity to treat your child like a new car, or you can treat it like a used car. Oh, you have depreciated value. I don't appreciate you. I don't like you. You got a scratch over here. You got a dent over there. You're this, that, and the other. I know you're going to break down. It's your choice. There are certain people who maintain their vehicles very well, their children very bad. Something is wrong with that picture when we are treating things better than we're treating children. And then we expect the things to last, and then we expect the children to last, and we expect to have relationships with our kids in our adult years and in our senior years. But how we treat them all depends, how we treat them in their youth all depends on what type of relationship we're going to set up. at any time, you can self-correct the choices you've made. But it takes what? We said this on Tuesday. An apology followed by corrective action, which means, yes, I am admitting that I was wrong. Here is my plan to do better. Here's how I'm going to improve upon this. Here's how I'm going to be a better parent. And if you're a parent, it's not too late. Just put it out there. Just try to do better. And most children, even in our adult years, will appreciate the fact that you're putting forth effort. But if you're not willing to put forth the effort, then you're not going to get the relationship or whatever you thought you were going to get out of the situation. So what does that mean? That means you have been placed in a family for a specific purpose. You can be in anyone's family, but you're in a family you're in for a purpose. And the people you're around is for a reason. And in your younger years, in your training years, I'll say, you know, you were to learn and to grow and to get with them and learn about life with your family, your cousins, your siblings. Okay, this is how this works. Your aunts, your uncles, this is this example, this is that example. These are your first teachers. And then you are to carry the lessons that you learn, good, bad, and different, on to the next generation. And you were supposed to make improvements on that. At any point in time, this choice is yours to make the improvements. Or you can let things continue on generation after generation after generation. You can have the family physician tell four generations the exact same thing. And you're like, I wonder which generation's actually going to get it to stop doing this and start doing that. Or you can say, hey, I'm just going to let whatever be will be. Laissez-faire. It is what it is. Great, go for it. And you're going to get the exact same results. Like, what you put out into the world is what you're going to get back into the world. So if you're putting out love and affection and appreciation and you're correcting yourself first and then you're showing your kids the examples within their family of what to do and what not to do, then you're going to get some well-rounded, well-versed children. Or you can do a couple other things. You can keep your kids out to yourself, isolate them, not let them interact with anyone or anything, and then you're going to have some pretty socially inadequate children. It just is what it is. And there's so many options out there for you to decide what works best for us. But again, before you get to us, it starts with you. What works best for me? And a lot of us haven't spent enough time with ourselves alone in the quiet peacefulness to learn you, yourself, and what works for you. That when we come to these situations now, it's a family, I've got kids, I've got this, I've got that. We don't know what works best for them because we don't know us. And that's a problem. And society, you know, will keep you going and going and going and going. And by the time you have a chance to get to learn you and really figure out what's really important in life, a lot of people stretch out on some hospital bed. Oh, I had a heart attack, a panic attack. I had to have this and that and the other. I'm stretched out. And now I've got, quote, unquote, free time to think about my life and the direction of my life. And we don't make these changes to our lives until the doctor's standing over us or beside us with some negative stuff. When at any point in time, before we get to that point of being stressed out, overworked, depressed, repressed, and all that other stuff, we can say, hey, wait, do some inventory of what's working, what's not working. Oh, my gosh, am I on course to meet with my dreams, my goals, my desires? Are my kids on course? Am I making sure they're in the right school with the right teachers, getting the right supports? How are they playing the right sports? Do they have the right coaches? Are we doing all that? Am I involved as a parent? Am I at the PTA? Do I know what's really going on at the school? Do I know what's going on at the camp? Do I know the people? Are we doing all this? No. We're busy. We're alive. We're doing social media. We're working 40, 50, 60 hours a week. We're not taking family vacations to rebond and regroup. We're not taking days off. Sick days, we're still going in sick. And that has become a norm. And that norm that we have is really driving us crazy, and it's driving us apart. So when we talk about family, it means 732 different things during the season. But when you decide what it means for you and how you can best serve what you have and guide what you have, then you have made the choice to be a better person. And now you can make the corrective behavior to go ahead and be about what you need to be about so that you can get the results that you say that you want. It's really so simple, and we're making it hard. Really, we do need three rubber bands to remind us to praise our kids. In a way, that's kind of sad. The fact that we have to have teddy bears in the front seat of the car to remember that our kids are in the back of the car, that's also sad. But it's not impossible to raise well-rounded kids, to have a peaceful home sanctuary, to praise your kids and get the behavior choices that you really need out of them. It's not impossible, and you can do it. And we've shared with you some of the best tools out there to do it. And we wish you best luck and success every step along the way. Okay? Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in as we talked about discipline and disciplining within the family and what that means in 2015. Next week, we're still going to be the family focus. And I hope you guys tune in Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday live, 7 a.m. You guys have a great weekend. Get you some rubber bands. This is Rev J. As always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide and keep you and your family. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.